No, she's got a great job.
Oh. Okay, going to call the meeting to order. We've had a chance to look at the minutes. Give us a few minutes, and I will accept a motion to accept.
Can we make an announcement?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Rob is not with us, so he's not able to be with us today, so we still have a quorum. We are okay. Minutes.
Oh, I would say let's accept them.
Okay, is there a second?
Approve that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. Any additions or deletions to the agenda? We do have a change.
Yes. Thank you. Maria Harris, the planning manager, was planning to be here, but she is respectfully not coming because she's still trailing a cough and congestion from a cold, and under the circumstances wants to be as protective as possible. Also felt that her voice wouldn't make it through her presentation. She sends her great regrets. She was really looking forward to it. But we have Catherine Danner of Ashland at Home, who was going to come in May, and she happened to be here for a meeting. I asked her if she'd swap it, and we got lucky that we can use our time very effectively in spite of the last minute change. So it will be Catherine Danner, Ashland at Home.
No. So can I ask a question?
Yes.
So will we be rescheduling the city of Ashland?
To May, to the May meeting. Yeah, she already has it on her calendar.
Yeah, so that, because we do certainly want to hear from them, from her. Okay, any other additions or deletions? Okay, public input, we don't have anybody. Because Catherine is not public.
I'm private today.
Michael, you want to be public?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have no public input. So, yes.
You know, maybe we should do this as an addition to agenda. I would like to give you all an update around coronavirus and what we're doing.
Okay.
And I'm realizing I have a lot of other things for my report. Why don't we just break it out as a little agenda item?
Okay.
And tell me where you want to put that.
Well, why don't we do it after Catherine, right at the beginning?
Okay, very good.
Great. So, Catherine,
yes.
Do you know all the members?
I probably know Mike the least.
Mike,
I know who you are, but
she's heard of you.
And that Lydia.
That bad, huh?
Okay, no worries. No rush. Just checking in. Thank you.
So anyhow, thanks. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stepping
welcome.
In.
You're welcome. We'll see how this goes, because I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. But I'm just, you know, these are our rec cards. I'm sure most of you have seen it, and there's probably some out in the lobby, or if there aren't, we'll have to leave the rest of them. Ashland at Home has been in existence now for halfway through our 8th year of operation. And we're one of well over 200 organizations like ours around the country that started, the original one was Beacon Hill Village, so you've probably all heard of that one, started in 2001. Our conversations about starting Ashland Home started around 2009, and Jean Stallman called her neighbors together up there in South Mountain and said she'd been to Boston and gone over to see Beacon Hill and thought it was a good idea and would it be a good idea to start here. And so that group of about 10 who met for about 3 years, and I got involved about a year and a half into those conversations. They were meeting in the Ollie classrooms very frequently, and we thought, well, okay, this is not, we did that survey mostly through the Ollie mailing list at the time and had an amazing number or percentage of responses to it indicating that yes, this was definitely an idea that a lot of people in Ashland would be interested in. So then we just formed a board and went for our 501c3 process, and in that process, we insisted that Ashland Home would be available to anyone 18 or older in the Ashland community. It was very hard getting the IRS to agree to that. They wanted us to stay with 55 and older and that sort of thing, and we said no. We knew that there were a lot of people potentially in our service area, meaning at that time it was just the 501c3, or just, sorry, the 97520 zip code, but that there were a number of people who potentially could use the services that we intended to offer. So we are available to, membership is open to anyone 18 or older who lives not only in Ashland, but about a year or so after we got formed, we opened our service area to talent. We will never go beyond that. It does need, we feel, to, for the sake of our volunteers and so forth, to maintain the possibility that people would pass each other in the grocery store and get to know each other as a community. We've often had people call us who live one house into Phoenix saying, well, but, you know, we're going, nope, not going to do that, because we've also often, not often, not so much lately, but about once a quarter or so, someone will call me from Medford, Jacksonville, Eagle Point, Central Point in particular. I get more calls from them saying, you know, could we expand to there? And we always say we're really hopeful that they will start a village like ours, and we would be happy to help them in any way we possibly could, because we know that they're, you know, all of those areas would benefit from this kind of organization. So Ashland at Home describes what we do as providing a kind of services for our members, and it is a membership organization that you would ask a good friend or a neighbor to do for you on an episodic basis. So we don't, and we also do not, our volunteers do not do any of the ADLs, activities of daily living. We do not do any hands-on services. We don't toilet, transfer, feed, bathe, any of those kinds of things. We also do not, cannot take any members, do transportation for any members who are in wheelchairs. We do have members who are in wheelchairs, but they don't ask for transportation services. We do other things. We invite them to our social events and that sort of thing. Speaking of that, just today, I'm involved in canceling the big social event that we were going to have this Saturday. Two of them, actually, because I was in charge of, as Ann knows, all the crabs for the Rotary Crab Fest, which was until about 3 hours ago, happening this Saturday also. So we don't have 575 pounds of crab coming for the Crab Fest. We are a membership organization. We know from looking across the country, we know from what we know from our kind of parent networking organization called the Village to Village Network, that the most villages serve middle-income folks, folks who probably possibly own their own homes, but they are living longer than they planned. They are not able to maybe maintain their home to the degree they want, but they want, like we know from all the surveys we see about any of us, we want to stay in our own home as long as possible, and actually forever if we possibly can. And so we say that our mission is to help to engage and support members to thrive in their own homes for as long as possible as they age. We do have members at Maple Ridge. We do have members at Mountain Meadows. But most of our members are living in their own homes out in the communities. We have, a few years ago, we did kind of an overview of where we had, how our organization has grown and how we got started and so forth over time. And we are, as I said, we've been in operation now for 8.5 years. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit. There is a membership fee of $500 a year for a one-person household or $600 a year for a two-person household. We do have funds to help support folks who, for whom that might be a little stiff, but we do not advertise that because we really, what we want to be sure before we even get into the discussion of how we might help someone with their membership fee, we want to be sure that that the kind of services that they need are the kind of services that our volunteers can offer, and for the foreseeable future. And So we do, but we do have funds that do help people. Once that conversation has happened and they say, and we really do want to join, but it's a little stiff for us, we do ask, however, that, and this I'm just telling you because you're all kind of in this business, and the board did decide long ago that whoever becomes members would pay at least half. Now, not all up in front if they can, you know, pay it over a few payments or something. So we have currently, our membership kind of gets up to 70 and drops back for all the reasons you might guess, and then it builds back up. And we've always maintained, pretty much, it's worked out, an equal number of volunteers. In fact, I'm doing a volunteer, that's not going to get canceled, I am doing a volunteer orientation on Saturday to bring in some additional volunteers. We have never had to advertise for volunteers. It's the most wonderful volunteer or experience I've ever had. And the reason, I think, is, first of all, most of our volunteers they toyed with the idea maybe of being a member and said, well, I'm not really ready, and all of us are familiar with that concept of, you know, in denial that we're getting older. But they, you know, and then, you know, like me, they possibly have helped care for an aging parent or something, and they understand the need, and they're well trained at being able to help older people, so they want to do that. But the other part of volunteering for Ashland Home, which is different from any other volunteer thing that I've been involved in, is we don't, other than, you know, I used to say we called it volunteer training, and then I went, no, I'm not training them to do anything, because they already know how to drive, and they know how to change light bulbs, and they know how to make a meal, or whatever it is that they're going to volunteer to do, because it's something that they already do for their friends and neighbors when they need to. But once they've gone through that orientation and had background checks done, both criminal and driving records, we have a database system that whenever I tell other nonprofits or anybody about it, they go, how did you get that? It that matches, you know, a member will call and say, I need transportation to a doctor's appointment or whatever, and then we know in the database all of those volunteers who might be available on that day to do that particular service, and we, you know, call up that list and choose maybe five or six of those, hopefully a mix of people who do a lot of services and ones who don't do a lot. And then the first volunteer who says they can do it gets the job. That volunteers can tell us that they don't ever want to do anything on a Tuesday, or they're going to Palm Springs for the winter and, you know, take me off for 4 months. There's no obligation in terms of any number of hours that they have to put in order to volunteer. So that is a real interest for a lot of our volunteers, most of our volunteers, the experience for volunteers and our members is pretty darn magical. There's very, very few that I can't think off the top of my head, none come immediately to mind, of experiences where the volunteer has been really happy to be at that, to knock on that door, because all of our services do start at a member's front door. They've, you know, spontaneously said, they looked at their calendar, we don't send requests out for things with an Ashland and talent more than a week in advance, or if they're going to take them to a doctor's appointment, which is all we do in Medford, we also take people to the airport or pick them up in the airport as long as it's not the O-Dark 30 time. So those we'll send out up to a week and a half in advance. But the point is, we don't ask volunteers to make a commitment to do a two-hour service 3 months in advance or every Tuesday or whatever. In fact, we want our members to understand that there are a lot of people willing to help them in the community. So I specifically try not to send the same volunteer out to any member's home on purpose. And last, the only exception to that is if it has to do with some computer assistance, because the learning curve for the volunteer for each of the individual systems is always pretty high, and often they can't finish what they were asked to do, but then they see there's five other things that really compounded the problem, and we'll have them just go back and finish whatever it is they got themselves into if they need to. So in addition to this, certainly these services that we offer, and they kind of fall into four categories, transportation, college, a little over 50% of what we offer, of what we're asked to do by our members. And as I said, we'll take people to just about anything in Ashland or Talent, or to doctor's appointments, and to the airport in Medford. And included in that transportation also is helping, we escort people to shopping, or we'll do shopping, grocery shopping for them, or take them on other kinds of errands that they might have. Personal services, if they're sick, they've had knee replacement, which is a rage right now, everybody's having knee replacement. They need a meal or two brought to them, they can have that, or if they're going out of town, need somebody to come by and water their plants or take care of their pets or whatever, that will happen. We also in that category provide respite care for the, so that the caregiver can get away for a little bit of time. In fact, we had a member whose husband has died this past year, but she wanted someone to come, officially respite care, but she simply wanted to be able to spend an hour or 2 hours in her garden, and not to have to feel like she needed to keep 1 foot in the door and 1 foot, you know, outside. So that's what the volunteer did. They just sat in the house so that if they knew that if her husband needed help, then they could come and get it, but she didn't have to worry about that. So personal services, home support. We have handyman services. Like I said, episodic is the name of the game here. We do have yard work, simple yard work, simple house cleaning, housekeeping, those kinds of things. If a person just needs, like it'll be big in about another week or two, a fair number of members are going to call and something's, you know, their garden needs rose trimming. I've had that one fairly often about this time, or just, you know, kind of getting, you know, the trellis fell over that was, you know, over the winter and needs to be put back up. And then the fourth area, which I just alluded to, is technical as office support. So we have volunteers who will do the most standard PC and Mac kind of help, or Apple, I guess is what I should say, and or non-computer related things. If there's a power outage and somebody's DVD or television won't hook back up, that kind of thing. So those are the four categories of service that we offer. And in addition to that, we do some issue-oriented programs, social gatherings. The one I just canceled was going to be last Sunday, but it was rescheduled for this Sunday, and now it's been canceled. Times changing, we call it, on the two times a year, on the day that the time changes. We have had social gatherings, usually at the Grange, for both members and volunteers. And any kind of program that we do or that kind of thing, we always invite both our members and our volunteers to, because we didn't at the beginning. We thought all of the things we do outside of the services, it should just be for members. And the first time we did it, all the members were saying, where are the volunteers? They're really, and from my perspective, they really are the lifeblood of our organization. While we're in service to our members, it's the volunteers who really do the one-on-one part that really makes our organization go. Now, we just started the last Wednesday of February, a program that we know it was just such a success, and we will continue doing it, Sage's Storytime. I know it conflicted with something you were doing over here at the very same time, but we are... have two people who are volunteers of ours who took Mark Iaconelli's story workshop, and they are facilitating for us a story time, which is being held down at La Baguette Music Cafe, the full name of the place, on the last Wednesdays of the month. And the next one is coming up in March, and the theme for last month was First Love, and this one is I Survived and Learned. So people will be telling 5-minute stories, and it was packed. We had over 45 people there last Wednesday in February, and we are pretty darn sure it's going to continue that way. We've been wanting to do more of this kind of thing, and it's not just for Ashland at Home members. In fact, the two people who are facilitating, and one of them is really involved in the Quaker group, and another's got her mother's out at Skylark, and Anyhow, it was quite a wonderful group of people and a lot of enthusiasm about it. Because we know, as you do, storytelling is the way to create a sense of community. And around the issue, all of those will be about elders, either by elders or about elders. So we're hoping to encourage some young people to come and tell some stories about their grandparents or, you know, some of that kind of thing, too, as we move along. The topic for April is going to be mothers. And I said, oh, so that means I can talk about when I was making kombucha. Or, you know,
yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the point is however anybody takes any of those topics. So, I'm not sure how long I have. I think that's time for questions.
So how is the Ashland Connector impacting your people, meaning local transportation?
Do you know the story of the Ashland Connector and one of our members? Go ahead. Anybody on the city council knows it? You know it.
Yeah, I think I know it.
You know it too? But at this point it hasn't. I mean, it's an unfortunate story, but fortunately the woman was not a shrinking violet, and the fact that she was left on the 300 block of North Main when she needed to be at the 300 block of East Main.
It isn't the perfect system, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying it's a new system.
Yeah.
And that, and fortunately, Paige or someone from the RBTB contacted her, and after she really went through a whole big thing. So I would say at this point not, because our members want curb to curb, door to door. Actually, not even curb to curb, door to door service, as we all unfortunately have gotten way used to with our own cars. And it's true that most of our members who do not drive are somewhat frail.
Yes.
And so the idea of if they can get a service that will take them to the grocery store, go to the grocery store, in there with them, take down the cat litter or whatever it is and carry it to the car, that's really the service that they want from us. So I personally have said, I have to do this. I should, easy enough for me to take it to my office, and why do I feel? So I will certainly do that. But, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, we know Ashland Transportation is huge, and, you know, and now that Valley Lift will go to Mountain Meadows, that's wonderful. So I think it's a wonderful service, but at this point, and I mean, it would be fine with me if it does, quote unquote, cut into the transportation request that we have, but I don't see that happening.
Well, and they won't take you to Medford or...
No, they won't. Some of our members are involved with Dial-A-Ride. You know, they'll try them first, and then if they can't get that, then they'll call us. And this one person who had this difficulty was trying, at my request, suggestion, tried the Ashland Connector. Mm-hmm. And then that happened. And do you want to hear this story? And I said, yes, okay. But anyhow, any other questions? Yeah.
You don't pay your volunteers, right?
Oh, no, nothing.
What is the $500 that you go for?
Well, you know, there is insurance. That is a huge part of what our expenses are. We do have an office. Our office it's not really a drop-in office, but we have an office that's in the building right next to Bill's Glass. It actually shares the same office there.
Next to whose class?
Bill's Glass up on...
Oh, Bill's Glass.
Near,
yes,
near
I know where that is, yes.
Bellevue School. And, you know, I get paid a little bit. And so that's what it pays for.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pay a year subscription when you sign up?
Yeah.
And then that comes due annually on whatever day you
sign
up?
Exactly, on the renewal date, yeah. And we have not, that's been our annual fees for members, one and two person households since we started. And we don't, to begin with, in our business plan, we said we were not going to be based on grants, that whatever our basic services would be, that it would have to be covered by membership fees. And because all of us know how fickle grants can be, and with something as, if you will, life support as this is for our members, we needed to make commitments that when they came in for a year that we felt confident that we could continue for as long as they wanted to continue to be members, that we could provide that basic set of services that we do.
Great, thanks.
And if you have an interest, I think there'd be willingness on the part of somebody from SOU to come and talk about that idea of having, if anybody was interested in having another person in their home.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think there's some anxiety in many people's cases about being home alone. You know, so matching a student who's looking
yeah.
for housing, I think they would be interested. They would be interested in talking with your
sure.
you at least
yeah, yeah.
about how that would work.
Yeah, and I think you know we would be happy to you know whatever the vetting process would be. There is an organization. I'm trying to think what it is because that we hear about that's a partner with the Village to Village Network.
Right, I know.
That does that kind of background checks, if you will, in the intent to. To get people living in the I think there are lots of ways that we can work and should be working together with, of course, with Ollie, but
yeah.
the university and whatever else in terms
yeah.
of how to integrate all of these various services. Because we're just, you know, we're not the, you know, there's certainly Mountain Meadows and there's Maple Ridge and there's Foster Homes and, you know, there's people who want to live in their own homes, so there's lots of different ways to get this living while we're getting older done.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yeah.
So, to say again how many members you have?
We have 63 right now.
63 members
mm-hmm.
and a similar number of volunteers.
Oh,
typically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you feel like you're evolving? I think many people at the table have heard about it. You know, in the past, what's your arc right now? You know,
well, it's kind of status quo,
okay.
unfortunately. We,
mm-hmm.
Any of you who've been involved in standalone nonprofits that start with great ideas, as we did, as did COHO, as has Age-Friendly Innovators,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, we've gone through this transition of all of our initial board members
mm-hmm.
Term limiting off
mm-hmm.
and trying to find what our spiral is up is the challenge for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing is a big one, for sure.
And you'll have an opportunity to do it again at the Ollie Open House?
Oh,
so
we love the Ollie.
Yeah.
Well, actually also the volunteer fair. Most of the people I'm training as volunteers this Saturday came from the volunteer
Yay.
Fair. Thank you very much for
Yay.
That. Yeah.
And I heard from people attending what I hope to hear, not just the places they want to volunteer, but I didn't know that service existed.
Mm-hmm.
I got their card. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, and I learned a few things. You know, I think I knew everything about Ashland Home. I didn't know you included talent.
Oh, yeah.
There was one other thing
mm-hmm.
that you said that I didn't know about. So,
and forgot
already.
Well, I remember what it is.
I know.
Yeah.
I just am a brand new grandmother, so I'm
oh.
like over the
moon. I know that one.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, you know,
yeah.
so there's some new pieces of information.
Yeah, and we did fortunately you saw just a loop of it. We did have a PowerPoint presentation put together that we can use when we go out to community groups. That kind of more visually, if you will,
yeah.
describes what we do, which is really important. I've done my last unassisted presentation to a service club, and I would have brought it if
it was given
any
more notice.
Yeah.
Rather than half an hour.
Yeah.
So thanks so much, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. I won't see you in May unless I just come to be a member of the.
You're office. Welcome to do that.
You know, part of having you come is just to maintain our connections and maintain our awareness as all ASAC members are ambassadors in the community and
right.
working on these issues. So,
right.
like Anne, I learned several things that I didn't already know or have managed to forget. So it's good to keep it fresh in our minds
mm-hmm.
and keep building those connections.
Well, and you have the RAC cards. You
right.
have all of our
mm-hmm.
contact information.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, I'm happy to answer any questions in any way, shape, or form that you may have or that come up, and anything you can do to, if you meet somebody who you think our services would be of help to, have you give us a call.
I think another thing that you didn't mention, but it's important to know, is that volunteers are vetted.
Volunteers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when a family member wants somebody to help their their seniors, they know with this organization that there has been a security check on the volunteers, and they know that the people have been trained not to take advantage of seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So that also, I think, is an important thing.
Are you still doing the referrals to...
Yeah, so we maintain what we call a list of member-recommended vendors for those things that our volunteers, like electricians or plumbers, or things that
mm-hmm.
way beyond the scope of what we would expect a volunteer to do. And we've asked those vendors, first a member has said, I have used them, I have found their price to be within the range of what it should be for that kind of service, and that they're... quality of their work was very good. And then we asked those vendors, do they want to be on our referral list, and would they give a member a volunteer? And we offer this service to our members and our volunteers if they need it. And we ask the vendor if they're willing to give us give anybody who says I was referred by Ashland at Home to. That reminds me of one last thing I want to leave you with, that whether or not they would like to be on the referral list. And so we do that.
You don't require a discount?
We don't require it, no.
Okay.
And in fact, we're not large enough to be significant enough at this point, but, you know, I'm trying to think, a couple of heating mm-hmm. and HVAC mm-hmm. folks that will do that, and a couple of painters who might be cool to do that. And so here's the thought I'll leave you with, and I always go through this when anybody comes new into our organization, or I just was reading something that one of our people wrote. We capitalize all letters in our name so that it sounds like, ah.
Ah.
We think our members generally feel that way about us, too.
Or, Clever.
Well, that's not it. The H is not the letter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Appreciate it.
So, you want to talk about coronavirus?
You've probably all been thinking about, wow, this is potentially very hard on seniors, and we have lots of activities here where people come together as a group. So I started reaching out a couple weeks ago. It took a while, but I finally was able to have a live conversation with Tanya Phillips, who is the public health person at Jackson County Health and Human Services, and just kind of to review what the guidance was. And I thought, well, can you tell me what's the trigger that we would close or stop gatherings here? And she said there is no firm trigger, but the distinction right now is that Jackson County does not have community spread. So we had our first two cases, but those cases are people who got it from travel.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as there is our cases where it's not known what the through the air, where we don't know that someone was directly exposed or had traveled, that triggers more conversation. She still didn't have a firm, that means you closed down. You know, I came in this morning with the state of emergency being declared at the state level. I signed up for notifications from Oregon Health Authority, so I'm getting those on a pretty much daily basis, and so what's nice about that is you hear, oh, 7 more cases in Oregon. Okay, not our county, just the 2 cases in our county. So we're monitoring it, and the early guidance that has been out from the CDC and the Oregon Health Authority and local health departments are following is preventive measures, everything we do for the flu. So we're publicizing that. It's a lot about the hand washing and really a stay home when you're sick. And especially with the new cases, it felt like it's coming a little closer. So I posted today these signs that you hopefully actually saw and read on your way in that say, if you're sick, please don't enter. Let us help you by phone. And here's the number. As just another layer, I've been in communication with Food and Friends, and what is their plan? They aren't ready to shut down their congregate meal sites. I think in all settings, it's the weighing harm. Okay, Mike, I'll stop. I can tell you really want to say something before I'm quite done.
Think about it this way. Where's the big money? It's OSF. watch them like a hawk. If OSF starts to do something, that's a better trigger than the public health or office from the state.
Well,
in other words, if OSF shuts down the plays, then you know it's serious.
Well, we will certainly take that seriously, and as a public entity.
Because they've got the money, and they're monitoring, and they have groups watching it.
They've already started, actually, but what they're doing now is they're cleaning all of their seats before and after performance.
Yeah, well,
so
that's...
So they're taking preventive action.
Yes, well, we should be doing that, too. Like, well, we had Tai Chi at the Grove. You got those wipes, wiped down all the bars, the tabletops.
Right.
You know, that's common
and
sense.
And we're doing the wiping. We've posted hand-washing instructions. So we're taking all of those steps internally, and we will continue to watch. I'm not at all sure that we would be waiting for OSF to close, because if schools close, we're probably closing.
Yeah, and I think it's a valid point that if OSF does something, then that's something to consider, but it's not what we're looking for. Eileen has a public health background. She's been so great to keep be the lead person for our organization and watching this and letting us know what's going on. And if we get to a point where it is suggested by the health authority that we do something different, we're going to do something different.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Before OSF. I think you're saying if the public authorities haven't said it, but OSF is changing, you would like us to consider that.
Oh, yeah.
And we absolutely will.
Probably would.
And we will have those dialogues. I'm part of the Emergency Management Advisory Committee for the City of Ashland, and they are now starting to convene. I was prompting that a couple weeks ago, but everybody's kind of, it's been a lot of behind the scenes conversation. So one of the things that we did as Parks and Rec is made sure that we began to message to our employees and to our volunteers with that message that the health of our staff, volunteers, and patrons is of the utmost importance, and that we are closely monitoring it, and it really is a day-by-day phenomena right now. So I just want you to know, as we wanted our volunteers to know and our staff, that it's something we're monitoring. We don't have an easy way to do a big broadcast out to patrons, but we do have some that we can reach by email, so that will probably be in the next day or two to send the message. Kind of reflecting, I've looked at a lot of models that have been coming from other organizations, feel like leading with we care and let's all work together to keep people healthy. So I hope to get a message like that out soon, and we probably will want to put one in our April newsletter regardless. You know, because it's probably not a quick passing thing. I read today from the medical director of the county. He sent something out, and he said, right now, nationwide, locally, everywhere, flu is much, much bigger and way, way more risk of death.
Oh,
and these are the same precautions that you take for both. But what he said is we're going to begin to see the fading of the flu season, but we're going to, at the same time, see the coronavirus continue to spread. Obviously, flu comes up more in the winter because we're more closed in, it's colder, et cetera. We don't know yet whether those factors will make a difference for coronavirus. What we know is the contact will continue to spread. So even an April newsletter won't be too late to be saying things about this.
That's what
we're doing here.
It's my understanding that these aren't cases, confirmed cases. That they're still presumptive.
Yes.
So I just think it's really important that we use the proper, because people get afraid. Oh, they're cases. They're presumptive still.
But between us, Mary, I don't have it in front of me, but I've seen from Oregon Health Authority.
Right, I got those emails.
That they've tested way more people than the number of presumptive cases. What I didn't have time to find out today, I'm guessing the presumptive case right now is a narrower definition of someone who has been tested at the Oregon level but not been verified by the CDC, because the number of people they have tested is greatly larger. The number of people who have been cleared is another number as well. So I don't know all those definitions, but I'd be happy to call them presumptive cases. I understand.
I just think that's important for the fear level.
I agree, and that was part of how we crafted our message, was about reassurance.
Yeah.
That we're watching it,
yeah.
That risk is still considered low in Oregon, even with the presumptive cases, and to lead with that message, but that we continue to watch, and here's the behaviors that can help you stay safe.
Yeah.
So.
That's good,
and
because one of the problems that I think is important is that stress, especially to frail people, does a great deal of damage. It can raise your blood pressure, even your cholesterol, and the first, do no harm, which means don't scare the elderly and the frail. Be careful when you put out a message that scares them, because you could cause them to have serious health problems having nothing to do with the coronavirus by scaring them.
Yeah. Okay, Anne?
I'm just wondering, independent of the coronavirus, is there any kind of a policy if a visitor to the center comes in coughing and sneezing, unprotected, have you had to deal with saying to somebody, maybe you should go home? Or?
Some of the earliest communication was with the lunch group, and they're doing a pretty good job calling to have a lunch to take home rather than coming in, because the lunch group is probably our most frail, certainly on average. I think in the past we've always encouraged people to go home or offered a lunch to go. I think the bar is getting higher where we will be asking people to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalie can attest that, and so could Corey, that with staff I push them harder than staff working at other locations.
Yeah.
So, and I've done some research on what the recommendations are about, they want you to be symptom-free for 72 hours, no fever for 24 hours, even if you have the flu, you need to follow those things. But it's hard. We live in a society where we typically don't force people, and I think we're probably looking at more required rather than suggested as the coming weeks unfold.
That was my question. Has your experience been with this?
Our seniors have been very good about staying home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't attend all the classes, and my signs on the door is actually more for the more vigorous seniors.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find, Mike? Do people come to Tai Chi when they have symptoms?
We haven't seen that.
Coughing, runny nose. They tend to stay home.
Unless it's something they... Some people have asthma. Asthma is 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop them from asthma symptoms.
Right, of course. And that can be hard to tell the difference. Allergies can be challenging, too.
Sinus
infection. The United Way sent something out today saying, if you aren't sure whether it's allergies or something else, please stay home. So we included that as a message to volunteers. So it went out to volunteers today, and I gave the one little update.
Well, people are coming to the Tai Chi class.
Yeah, I think as far as I can tell, people are still going out and about till they really hear otherwise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there, you cannot buy any hand sanitizer. We had a little on hand, and I went out to try to really stock us up, but you cannot buy it anywhere right now. So I've got some back orders.
But you can make it.
Right. Those ingredients are available, that I'm probably going to have to go in that direction. I felt like as a public entity, I'd rather not use a homemade version.
It's a new class.
Right.
Yeah.
How to make your own hand sanitizer.
It's just pushing us to tell people to get in there and wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, 20 seconds of washing your hands is going to go a lot farther than
Well, not good for your skin.
I don't want to take all of today to do that, but I was sure that you had some concerns.
Yeah,
and
thank
you.
Mike,
we're on it.
I just want to reiterate that we are on it, and our goal with Eileen's guidance is to inform people and to get good information out there. So our staff was informed of the news release that the Oregon Health Authority and the local agencies have put out, and we'll continue to do that. I think that what we've put out so far and what we're telling our customers is in the interest of keeping them the safest, and we definitely don't want to alarm anybody, but we don't want to be in a situation where we're not accepting that there is some knowledge that people could benefit from right now. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And?
Well, if you can't get hand sanitizer, would it be useful to have some masks?
No.
The public health recommendation is that we should not be wearing masks to prevent
seeding
it, but they're more effective for someone who shows symptoms.
Right.
So we do have some masks on hand because our smoke event was much less last summer, and I feel fortunate that we have a supply that others don't necessarily. We aren't going to be giving them out, but if I had somebody in the building who was exhibiting symptoms, I'd be getting a mask on them as fast as I could while they waited for their lunch to get out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Just like the doctor's office is
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you going to put out a recipe to all the members, everybody on everybody's list? This is how you make your hat. Own hand sanitizer?
I don't think that's our role.
Yeah, again.
Wash your hands.
Yep. Even getting the supplies for hand sanitizer. I've heard aloe gel and alcohol. There's probably some other recipes out there.
That's the main one, and you add a little essential oil so it stays longer on your hands.
Oh, I didn't realize that happened.
Do you know what the degrees are, how much?
Yes, I do.
Well, you need to teach a class then.
So you send it to us. Send it to us or
send it
to Eileen.
I got it verbally, but
I can send a link to you all.
Yeah, you can send a link. My wife's got the link. You know, retired nurse gets all this stuff. Pretty straightforward. But the one thing that we are doing, and I don't know, you know, for the Tai Chi class, get there a little early, and I use the wipes because you guys supply us with the wipes. You know, those
until they're gone.
Yeah. Wipe down tables in the bar. You know, B A R R E around the room,
mm-hmm.
and you know what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm washing my hands every hour on the hour, but it's horrible on your skin. That much hand washing.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So, last time we talked about ASAC representation at community meetings. So, Eileen asked us all what meetings we're attending, so we have that in our information. So, we are not going to have everybody report on all those meetings, every meeting of ours, but I think we need to all take it upon ourselves when there is something that would be relevant to bring that up. Probably under standard, I don't know, maybe items from ASAC members or work groups would be where that would fit. Any questions about that list? Okay, standing report. Mike, do you have anything?
Do you have anything you want to add pertaining to seniors?
Well, I could bring up the swimming pool. We're in the design phase of the swimming pool. We have an architectural group with a design pool designer on contract, and they're designing the pool right now. And everything that you were aware of implementing to be more consistent with the senior center and to make it more accessible is being done.
Can you speak to the time frame that we're thinking now?
Yeah, so we are, because those of you who are involved in this process know we're trying to move as quick as we can,
mm-hmm.
but the quickest we can move has to be somewhat controlled by the manufacturer, which is an Italian company. And the Italians, oh wait a second, Italians are, no, that's just,
Yeah, they just went in lockdown.
They just went in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they also take the month of August off for vacation because they're really smart people. So.
Yeah, on both ends.
Yeah. So we probably are not going to be starting construction until October of this year. So the pool will be open. This pool will be open this summer. But the things that we talked about, like having a walkway from here over and things like that, a zero depth entry for wheelchairs and people with who can use a handrail going down, plus the wheelchair lifts and things like that. So.
Great. Anything else?
You know, I think I might have mentioned it before, the Japanese garden got delayed until starting next year. And some of it was consideration of ADA for the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a good move to make dinner mess to delay that project to so that we can get everything sorted out for the best that we can. But I've been out of town for a couple weeks, so I don't have anything else.
You've been in the sun.
Not Italy.
I did fly on a plane, but I haven't been coughing, so
okay, Steph, anything from the city?
Well, you know, the city administrator has Alba, April 6th, I think is her last day, and we're looking to hire for public works. The bond for changing the city administrator position to a city manager position is supposed to be on the main ballot, as is the, at this point, the decision to build a new city hall is now to leave the exterior services of the city building intact and just work on retrofitting the inside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the bond also includes reconstruction for Pioneer Hall and for the community center. So if that bond passes, then those things will be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael?
Those are probably the main things.
Well, I was just going to say on that, those are three things that would be really good to have people involved in to make sure that there is the universal design. These are community centers, all three of them. Even the City Hall has the potential to be a community center for different uses. And if the city's going to spend $7.5 million to improve buildings, they should be improving them for everybody. So it'd be a good one for the group to keep track of, all three of those buildings.
Mm-hmm. And did you have
actually, that would be an interesting thing for this committee to make a recommendation about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ad hoc environmental climate kit committee wants it to be platinum lead level in terms of the carbon neutrality. So there are different committees making their wants known about what the building should be like, and that is a very important point. I think that, you know, that would make a lot of sense for that to be a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make a motion about that? I mean, just get it done?
Yeah, I think a motion would be good.
All right, I move that the design for the three new community spaces include universal design and all age-friendly considerations.
Wonderfully stated. I would second that.
Mm-hmm. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Shall I draft a letter?
Yes, that'd be perfect. Thank you, Sam. And it should be addressed to
the mayor.
The mayor.
It should be addressed to
the mayor and
the council. Mayor and the city administrator, and probably also to you.
Yeah, I think we'll have a lot to do with the two other buildings, but I'd cast a wide net right now because there's nobody who's, well, there is somebody who's going to be filling the seat of administrator. I would just cast it as wide as possible to make sure enough people know about it.
Well, why don't I draft a letter and maybe Eileen, you and I can take a look at it and see where, or send it out. She could send it out. I don't send out things.
If you do it before Tuesday, which is the next, not this week, but the following week.
A week from Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is what, the next council meeting?
The next council meeting, I think, is, I'm trying to figure when it is.
17th.
The 17th. I won't be here for the 17th.
So you're saying that we'd want to have it to the mayor and the council or the city administrator before that meeting because there's going to be discussion.
I was just going to read it, but...
Oh, I see.
That's all.
You get somebody else to read it.
Whenever you have it.
Okay.
And thank you for making that.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning it. That's great. Anything else?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, Natalie.
Thank you. So I gave everyone a little flyer that says winter spring events. That's just a list of our upcoming events. I have emailed you all about this, but I want to reiterate that Ron Cole will be here this Wednesday, the 11th, from 1 to 3 p.m. to talk about avoiding fraud, scams, and cons. And if you are available, it would be wonderful if you could attend. We had talked about bringing Ron Cole here to speak to ASAC about this important issue, and it turned out to be easier to organize as public education event. So we're glad to finally have him come talk to our community about this, and I've got a pretty good sign up. And then we have a mix of social and educational events for the rest of the spring and are currently working on our summer programming in conjunction with the summer play guide that will cover May through September programs, and looking further ahead as well. Is there anything you'd like to add, Eileen?
She does a great job.
Thank you. But yes, it's time going by. We have ice cream social this summer, and I'm sure we'll remind you all about Close to the Date. It would be great if you could come to that again. And then some other educational programs that we're trying to create a nice balance of education and recreational programming for our patrons.
For quite a few of you showed up at Ice Cream Social last year, which was great. And what I learned from it is that we make our sponsor come a lot earlier. And this year, he's already communicated to the band that we'll have a period of serving and mingling before the band starts. So we'll start serving early because the lunch crowd tends to just wander right out. So even though it's officially 1 o'clock, we'll start serving probably at least by 1:45, and the band won't start till 1:15. So I want you to know that next year we'll have a little more opportunity to mix, which was part of the goal of having you all come, since none of you would eat the ice cream. Goal of mix. Maybe I'll just add our latest wild idea. After the success of the Senior Volunteer Fair, which was just enormous, during the lead up to that, conversation was arising about a senior jobs fair the kind of part-time job that people asked us about to both supplement their income, or some people want more purpose than volunteering. I've had some people that volunteering just isn't their thing. They want a job, And so we are at the very beginning of that conversation with a goal of lining something up for. We realized January was a little too intense a month for us. It sounds like a good idea, but it's actually a lot of demand in January after the holidays pass. So we're looking at the February and March
beginning March, and so.
Can we consider employers in Medford?
Yes, we will include employers from Medford. So I'm beginning my conversation with Rogue Valley. People tell me they're more the experts in knowing who the employers are. But we just brainstormed a whole list of people we'll start to connect. I will bring this back to you at a later date when it comes to who to invite. If you have ideas that you want to send me in the meantime, I send me an email or something. So it may be smaller than our volunteer fair, but I have a feeling we'll have lots
bigger.
Of people wanting to table again. So
I
yeah.
think it could be bigger.
Yeah, oh, bigger. That
I'm just thinking, you know, maybe this. I think it's cool that we got people in here.
Yeah.
But
maybe we need to do it somewhere else.
You might need to think about it.
Well, we'll think about that.
Yeah.
You could also have the suggestion of a tent, and it turns out Parks and Rec actually owns a big canopy tent. There's a cost, though, so I have to get a sponsor that could offset the cost, the labor of putting it up and taking it down.
Well, maybe one of those employer-type people.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. In fact, I'm considering charging everybody who exhibits. Their
employers
should offset our overhead. So I didn't think that way when we had nonprofits. But and then we'll get somebody who's going to shell out more for getting the top billing by contributing to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I hope we can pull it off. It's a wild idea because we barely recovered from, we are victims of our success. Our events are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and our staffing is staying the same, and it's getting pretty exhausting.
There's not much wiggle room.
Okay, why don't you move on into your report?
Okay, too much to say today. So I provided you with statistics this time. We've been collecting statistics since a month or two after I started, but I've mostly given you a narrative about how many people we're serving, and I know about you, I find it easier and nice to see the comparison. And now we're really at the point where I can show you comparison visits, average visits per month. You can see the climbing trend.
It's really amazing.
Why January is not the month, even though we had 153 people at the special event, just the seniors, not, it was about 200 people when you count all the exhibitors. That pushed up our fitness and recreation, but I will also draw your attention to the services. 486, and that trend continued in February. That's because we're getting the word out wider. I think we saw a spike in January last year also. That's just a trend that we need to remember. Thank goodness we were fully staffed this January instead of with a new employee as we were last year. That killed us. But we're getting the word out. And that's been our goal. That's where each of these events pulls new audience and more people. One of the things reflected in our services is the line on bust and valley lift. We had the Ashland Connector presentation at the beginning of February, and people came from Mountain Meadows and Ollie and all these other places that hadn't been here before, and they learned that the city has this bus pass program. And so the demand has been pretty unrelenting since then. But it's great. I'm not worried about it. I think people who aren't going to use it regularly won't end up renewing, but we do serve a lot of people who use as many rights as we can give them. They renew on the day it expires. And you can imagine for someone with very limited fixed income that having those 20 rides a month is really huge in their quality of life and independence.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there's any questions on the statistics, good. This is a version of what I presented to you at the end of last fiscal year, so hopefully it's a little bit familiar as well. I want to call your attention to our brand new art exhibit. With the help of our wonderful partners at Ollie, Rob connected me with Reddy Haskell,
Pavel, who is, has been on our teacher at Ollie for a long time, and he has an email list of all of his students from years of classes. So he has come on board as a volunteer, and he put the word out to all of his students. He had 10 people who wanted to exhibit. They begged to not have to wait for 2 years to go by before they all got in. One artist a quarter was not going to work for them. So, and he had this idea of moving our big coat rack that's typically over there. I had Rick came and cut it in half and hung it on the other wall, and I did that instead of hooks because you can get a lot of coats in even the half rack. And now we have two beautiful walls. I think it's really impressive. I think it was a huge brainstorm from Reddy. But he's coaching them. They did their little signs. They sent me their write-ups on them. They did the hanging all together, you know. So I want to invite you. There's going to be an art opening. There's a little sign in different directions. There's going to be an art opening this Friday, the 13th, at 3:30, when the rest of what we do closes. They're providing their refreshments. I think we've really turned a corner into this being a senior-led, senior celebrating art. So I just love that it brings this brightness and interest to our meeting room as well, and very much fits with our mission of celebrating all the seniors have to offer. So it's pretty cool. We have them lined up through the rest of the year.
Nice.
So
what's the time for that?
3:30 to 5 is the opening. It's just, you know, a drop-in, and you can meet the artists and talk to them. And we, over the year, we'll have a real mix of people who've done art all their lives, like our first two exhibits. For most people, it's the retirement that has allowed them to really open it up. And for someone like Charlie Noble, he was a photographer, and you can read his write-up. He just, and by taking Reddy's class, he's coming to doing painting now. And you'll probably see a little difference between the two artists, and their history shows a little bit, but everybody...
When do they rotate?
Every 2 months.
Oh.
And so pretty much the beginning of the months that we meet, our odd months, is when we hang the new show. We can only get in here on Wednesday, so it's always like that. So anyhow, that's really fun. Another thing I want to invite you to, again, last year a bunch of you came to this volunteer and instructor appreciation tea. You all got it via email. And in your case, we're thanking you as volunteers and encouraging you to be here to thank the other volunteers. It was hugely successful last year. It was small, intimate. I expect this year we'll have a bigger crowd. We're already talking that we may need to set up more out there. We got a sponsor for the food. Skylark wanted to do some sponsorship with us, and for a lot of the residential care, they don't have a big advertising budget. What they have is a commercial kitchen, and I said, I need really nice food. He said, okay, we'll give you really, they've got a nice little menu they're going to give us. So that would be really fun. That is Wednesday, April 29th. Also from 3:30 to 5 after we close. Two quick mentions. The Rogue Valley, Two Counties Senior Advisory Council, that's run by Rogue Valley Council of Government, is wanting us to help spread the word that they're seeking more members to represent senior issues in the two county region. So, just putting that out. You know, you're pretty too, but if you know of somebody who maybe would like to get engaged at those levels, I'm looking at my partners who have done their share of recruiting for that organization, but I'm putting the word out to the rest of you. And are you going to do an update on advocacy, and were you or Sandy, either of you planning to talk about SOU, because the meeting that we went to?
We could do that.
Okay, I'll leave it to you and I'll shut up. So I'm done.
You're done?
Yes, I know.
Any questions for Eileen? Okay, items from ASAC members or work groups.
Okay.
So you can just in.
Yeah. So there's really two things about the all-age friendly Ashland initiative. We are approved, and there will be some kind of special presentation from AARP welcoming us to the network.
And we just set that up.
Okay. Yeah. And probably in the next couple council meeting things, which we'll arrange with hopefully somebody from the director of AARP Oregon coming to make the presentation.
At the city council?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. So.
And then we would include parks with that.
Of course.
It would
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
We'd like a joint.
And, well, the idea that it's good that it's televised because then we can get some media there and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. Anyway, and then we met today with Vandana Shresha from AARP Oregon and with Liz James, who's one of the local volunteers, talking about next steps, which mainly include the needs assessment and the starting on the development of a plan. And we kind of reviewed the fact that we have quite a bit of information which has to be, massaged to look and see where are the gaps in what we know. I think we have pretty good information from the restructuring program and from the city's livability survey for identifying a lot of areas that align with the eight domains of the age-friendly status, but we probably are lacking in information about other age groups below seniors. So anyway, we'll be coming up with a plan to assess the needs, and then after that we'll have a plan for the action. What else?
I think that's all for that.
Oh, there is one other thing, which is that I participated on there's a initiative going on to make Oregon all age friendly, and so there's a group that's been meeting on that. Sandy went to their summit, and I've been on their conference calls, and I was just on the one that they just had, and it's helpful to hear the input of other age-friendly Oregon cities that are further along. And so the initiative now is to get Governor Brown to go a step further than she has in her initial proclamation. So that's the only other thing on that.
Yeah. Question?
Mm-hmm. No, I actually have something to add.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
If it's around. Did you want me to talk about Gina?
Or? Absolutely, yes. This would be the time.
So, Sandy and Eileen and I interviewed prospective new members, and it's Gina Duquesne, right? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce her last name?
Duquesne.
So, we had a great meeting with her about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she was eager to become part of our group. So, I'm going to appoint her to this committee. Effective, she couldn't be here today, but she'll be at the May meeting. So, a little bit about her. She works for the Newman Group. She's in senior sales manager for the Newman Group, and she has a lot of connections within the city. She's on the city at the Ashland Housing and Human Services Commission since 2015. Member of the Ashland Chamber of Commerce and attends. Ashland Chamber Greeters, Rotary Club of Ashland, board member and membership chair, Southern Oregon Pride founder and president since 2010, Excellent. Martin Luther King Day Junior Committee Member, Addictions Recovery Center Board Member, and Children's Advocacy Center Board Member. So I think she'll be a great addition to our group. And
how do you spell her last name?
How do you spell it?
D-E-Q-U-A-N-N-E.
D-U.
D-U, sorry.
Yeah.
Duquette.
And I think the Q is capitalized.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it's D-U, capital Q-U-E-N-N-E. So I just think it'll be a good addition and help us continue to cast a wider net on some of the services that she's involved with that'll help us.
Connected.
Yeah, connected.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I wanted to mention. And the other is, I know Eileen sent out the some information on the Downtown Revitalization Committee, and I'm a member of that as well. And I would just encourage people, if there was a survey of, if you're inclined to want to fill that out and give some feedback, it's definitely appreciated. And the Citizens Advisory Committee that I'm on will be able to take that input and hopefully work with it.
That's the one you just sent us, Eileen?
Today.
I'll do it.
Good, Ann.
Well, I'm delighted to have Gina join the group. I know we had hoped to have an odd number so that, so going to 9 would give us some ability to voting and things like that. So I don't know, how's that coming along?
So we still have one opening. Based on the applicants that we got, the little work group, really led by your decision making and staff to it, decided to just appoint one person at this time and maybe take a little breather before pushing the recruitment again.
Okay.
Still looking for program members that might be interested.
Yeah.
The senior center.
Now, I'm having a hard time making a face and a name, but she was here.
Yeah.
She attended one of our meetings, correct?
Yes.
I believe she identifies as African American.
Okay.
Gina, you're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it.
Okay.
Very personable.
Yeah. And really an incredible set of connections and things that aren't represented well for us right now.
Gina's really into diversity issues.
Mm-hmm.
She also does a lot of work with the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And has been concerned about seniors finding a place as, apart from traditional acceptance of people that are different is important to her. Mm-hmm. She's also probably going to be running for the council. She's intending to be there.
So we may not have her for long, but but I think it will, I think she's a good choice.
Cool. So she'll be here in May.
May, right. So Eileen mentioned a meeting that some of us attended at SOU. For some time, some of us have been talking with people at SOU to get them to develop a program for aging, for professionals. I'm going to say aging professionals. That's not what I mean. For professionals who
serve,
thank you, aging issues. I haven't figured this out ahead of time here. And so over the last, how many years? Several. We've been working on that. So it seems like it's finally coming together. Apparently the provost has mandated, actually, as we heard, that that they do come up with maybe a micro major, maybe a minor related to this. A professor by the name of Larry Gibbs is taking the lead on this. And so we were asked to come up with some, what we think the needs are in the community for these kinds of professionals. And so we did that, and I thought had a pretty good discussion. And frankly, we'll see where it goes.
Well, they actually start their plan.
To start next fall.
To start next fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you know, what remains to be seen is how much depth there will be in the curriculum that is offered to them. What is it going to take to be certified, and what kind of jobs are tied to that certification? I think that's the unknown at this point, and I know some people have an opinion about that.
Well, I see, the curriculum as it's proposed right now is not very in-depth, let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very...
It maybe is a step forward, maybe it isn't what we're really wanting at this place, but at this point, but maybe at this point, it's
the best that can be
done. The best that can be done.
Well, it sounds to me as if the people who are currently working in aging services will have the opportunity to maybe extend the depth of their knowledge, whether it accomplishes what we'd hoped for, which is the certification of geriatric care managers, probably not.
But I think, not to pick on Natalie, but it might be something that Natalie, you might be interested in doing in order to further your own knowledge. You've already got a lot of the basics, and I think for that, I think it may be good for people in your position who are already in aging services and that kind of thing. So I look upon it as a positive. It's not the ultimate, but it's a positive.
It is a work in progress.
It's
a
work
in that way in terms of the curriculum.
Yeah.
So I'm
okay.
Playing around with that a little bit.
Right. Anything else?
They certainly collected a lot of input on what kinds of courses.
Right.
And of course, we gave them a list that was quite a bit longer than anything that existed now. So we'll see where it goes. My understanding was what they're starting in the fall is the option of a concentration under the Health Administration bachelor's degree.
Right.
What they weren't sure about that might come out in the future is more of a certificate program or a minor for other majors, things like that. So I can see that Mary's advocating behind the scenes to help them be more academic.
I'm trying.
So.
But yeah, so I don't feel like I can share a lot of that curriculum development right now, but I would say I'm in several conversations specific to curriculum, so.
Well, we appreciate that you're there.
Yeah.
Hey, Sandy, we've been at this for a while.
We have been at this for a while.
for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Seems like sometimes it takes a long time.
Oh,
eventually, maybe it will.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? We're nearing our time limit. We have our next meetings, May and July. Anything else?
Well, that we're in work on our presentation at Bowling.
Yeah.
So, on the advocacy, or the... what are we? What's our word?
Public awareness.
Publicity. We don't know what we're doing. Public awareness. We have all the bones in place for a presentation, and Anna and I met last week, and we're working on it.
Okay.
So we've got, and all that great data that you supplied, Eileen, we're working with that and trying to get that in. I know some of that from today will be very helpful too. So we've got the bones are up, the structure looks good, we're working on it.
Put some meat on it.
It needs me. It's got both. Now it needs me, yes.
Well, I'm really grateful. Anne has helped create PowerPoint, mm-hmm. the PowerPoint that we took originally to City Council mm-hmm. and PRC, and the one we took with Age Friendly. And it, I know you talk sometimes, Anne, about helping to be a staff extender, and though that contribution is super helpful. I already have organizations that would take a presentation from me, mm-hmm. but the fact that I know you're working on the PowerPoint and she's so good at making it really graphic and beautiful, that lets me research coronavirus and
a few other things
we need to do. So I'm really grateful.
What I would like to know is what's a good time frame for you in terms of us looking at completion?
You know, I already was asked by one organization.
I'm sure we missed them.
It was mostly because I have two of them kind of out there pending, not getting back to me, but I'm mm-hmm. not chasing them down because I don't have the presentation yet. The one that asked me had somebody, you know, a last minute fill like Catherine did for us. And I had to politely decline because I could not prep anything for them.
So sooner would be better.
Sooner would be great, but it's like a lot of things that I have on my plate. Yesterday would have been great, but you just keep plugging along. So,
well, I think after spring break, we'll try to get together again and put some flesh and stuff on it, and then share that with you, and then we can go back and forth.
And then one of the things that happens with presentations is you end up having to have your 10-minute version and your 20-minute mm-hmm. version, and so on.
We're just going to have a two-hour version.
Yeah, just throw it all in there, and then we'll...
We're just going to have it all in there.
Yeah, it comes with dance music.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Pick and choose.
It's darn
great. I like to dance.
Yeah.
Give you a little pause. It's an interpretive presentation.
Thank you so much. I'm going
to work on that. Okay, we are adjourned.
I was hoping for river dance and flamenco.
River dance, right.